All right, my name is Ken. I'm a recovered sex addict.
Hi, Ken.
And I've been asked to cover step 12 from a sponsor's perspective. You know, I don't stay sober on an 11 and a half step program. And you know, the step 12 is a two-parter. The second part being that we practice these principles in all our affairs. And that's the half that a lot of people are at least willing to try at. But there's a lot of people out there not willing to carry the message. I can't stay sober if I don't get out there and try and carry the message. It's an essential part of my recovery. It gets me out of myself. And I'm real quick to emphasize that the 12 step says we carried the message to sex addicts. That means I'm going to have to step outside the comfort zone of my meeting. It means I'm going to have to get out there and make sure my community knows that we're here and that there are people who have recovered. Now, I work with a lot of guys who are in remote areas and they want to start a meeting and so on. And I'm telling them, look, the emphasis is not to start a meeting. Because really, if you're starting a meeting, let's look at the fifth tradition. The only purpose of a meeting or group is to carry the message. And if you haven't had the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, what message are you carrying? Mm-hmm. Let's get the horse out in front of the cart. Let's get this thing in the right order. If you start a meeting and the majority of the people that show up haven't recovered, then when you have a group conscience that decides on what the meeting is going to do, then you're going to have a group of people who have know nothing about our program doing all kinds of things that have nothing to do with our program. In other words, carrying another message and not ours. We as a fellowship only have one message, and that is that we had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. If we're doing anything else, we're off track. And guys, when I say these steps, I mean these instructions for these steps. That's why this book was written. It was designed, it was written to track down what is 12-step and what is not. Because before the book was written, it started to get way off in different directions. And they had to rein it back in and say, well, you know, not because of control, but because it's a point of humility. I cannot show you how to recover a way that I didn't recover. And if I do, then I'm making it about the messenger and not the message, the personality instead of the principles. If I think I can show you how to recover any way you want to recover, then I'm thinking I have the power and it's not the program, right? It's not the principles, it's about me as the sponsor. And that's a point of humility that we've got to stick to. We've got to always know that we only have the power to show others how we recovered. So that's an important deal. It's a critical deal. They're going to point out in early in working with others that we need to go to helping professionals. And really, what they did in early AA, they went to where alcoholics were finding bottom. And because they'll repeat this in working with others, they'll repeat this in the chapter to wives, the family afterward, the chapter to employers, that the guy we are most able to help is the guy who's fresh off bottom. The guy who's fresh off bottom has an open mind. And Darren was talking about this in the foundation, is that we got a narrow window of opportunity when we find a guy who has found bottom. Because as soon as people start to take the pressure off this guy, his ego's going to grow up and start reasserting itself. And it's going to interfere and it's going to prevent this person from actually doing the work. His willingness is going to evaporate. So it's important that when we find someone, that we find someone who is fresh. So where do we find people like us who have found bottom? we want them, you know, it's going to be a hard one. And this is something that's not well done in SAA. And in fact, we're one of the few places in the entire fellowship that are actually seeking these guys out where they're finding bottom. And I've got lots of ideas on that. But as far as practical application, well, here in Dallas, we've been so busy with referrals from the alcoholics that we haven't really had time to go chase these other opportunities. This is something that we need to develop. This is something we need to work on as a fellowship locally. How do we go and forge these new places? Why? Because people are looking at us. People are looking at us from throughout the country, and they're saying, how do you do what you do? Well, you know, the truth is we've been tagging on the alcoholics and drug addicts' coattails for a while, and they've been forging the path. We need to learn how to forge a path. We need to learn how to do that so we can show others how to do that. So that's something that we've got to get into as a fellowship. But I'm not going to go into the particulars of that because, quite honestly, I only want to share our theories on how to do that with people who really know what the 12-step message is. And, of course, this recording could go out to anywhere. I'll be happy to talk about this ad nauseum when we turn this recorder off. But I don't want any confusing messages out there. I mean, really, honestly, guys, if you are, here's the deal. 12-step works best for the guy who is desperate. What does desperate mean? Desperate means he's out of options. He's tried therapy, and he's still ready to put a gun in his mouth. He's tried going to church and getting real involved there. He's still ready to put a gun in his mouth to stop him from acting out again. A guy who's desperate has tried reading his scripture more. He's tried everything he knows, okay? 12-step offers something unique. If that guy who's desperate walks in here and he's hearing some of the same stuff he heard in his therapist's office, what's the possibility that he's going to say, wow, well, you know, I've tried all this, so I guess my other option is to go blow my brains out? We need to offer our unique message, and only our unique message. Okay? We offer something different for the guy who is done. So it's very important that that we don't get confused about what is 12-step and what is not. It's very important that we don't carry other messages, because if they hear some of the same stuff they've been hearing everywhere else, then they're going to think it's the same thing and they've already tried it. And then, okay, I've exhausted all my other possibilities. Last thing left is just to commit the ultimate act of self-will. So we got to remember who we're looking for. We're looking for the guy who's fresh, who's ready to kill himself to stop. we have to get outside of our meeting. We have to. And here's why. While the 12-step means also to sponsor, it also means to get out there and let the community know that there is a solution to this hopeless thing. Why we do it, and this is from my personal experience, is that you know, Bill Wilson's experience rings, I agree with it 100%. Over on page 15, he talks about that whenever life was getting rough, whenever he was swallowed up by self-pity or whatever, selfishness and so on, whenever he was in the midst of that depression, he knew that he could go to that place where he carries the message and get outside of himself for a little bit. And when he'd walk out of there, his problems, they seemed trivial, insignificant. And you might think, oh, well, you go to one of those facilities and you start seeing those people who are worse off than you, you think your problems are insignificant too. No, that's not what it's about. It's about getting out of selfishness. It's about me not thinking about me anymore. And my sponsor, he told me about this. It's funny. Normal people get this stuff, and I don't know why we don't at some earlier point in our lives. My sponsor was sitting next to a little girl on a little teenage girl on an airplane who was flying to Africa to do some missions work. And he was asking her, and he said, well, what made you decide to do this? And she said, well, you know, last year I was really depressed. I was so depressed and I finally realized, you know what? I'm just thinking about myself too much. And so she made a point in her life that she needed to get out of herself. Normal people get this. And it's a lesson we have to learn. And it's not about whether we see other people in worse conditions and have pity for them and have more appreciation for what we do have. That's not the issue. I mean, Clarence Snyder lived in the back of his car for the first 2 years of his sobriety. But he knew he could stay sober because he could get out of his problems by helping other people. Now, it doesn't mean we don't deal with our problems. We do. But here's what I was getting at when I say my experience rings true. I was caught up in some selfishness, some self-pity at work. Taking a demotion and was full of that language in my head of, you are a loser, Ken. You're a screw-up. You could screw up a plate of spaghetti. I was on the verge of tears the whole day. I called my sponsor, you know, left him a message as to what my inventory was, did a 10-step, you know, on his voicemail. Called some other folks, couldn't get hold of them. I had to get back to work. Still had that language going on in my head, but I knew everything was going to be okay because I was going to go down to the street church after work and do some service. And sure as anything, I went down to the street church and I sat and I talked with someone there. Not even about recovery. I didn't even talk recovery, but I sat and got outside of my problems for a little bit. And when I walked out of that street church, I was like, what was I upset about? My problems had evaporated like just so much smoke on the wind, you know? That's why we have to do this. Guys, many of y'all know I've been going into another facility for about 5+ years. And I've only been successful at taking one person through the steps out of that place. But you know what? When I miss going to that place, I see a difference in me. I see me being a jerk to everyone in my life. I see me getting caught up in self. So it's an important thing. And this is another piece of it that I have to emphasize to my proteges, is that this is not about the result. Nowhere in step 12 says we were successful. It says we tried. I get the promise of step 12 by making the effort. And in fact, nowhere in these steps does our higher power expect us to bring about any result. He expects us to make our best effort. And we get the promise by making our best effort. Bringing our best effort to the table, we get what the program promises. So, it's an important thing for them to understand. You're not there to change the world. You're there to stay sober. Plain and simple. And so, you know, what is the result? What happens? I don't know. I am nothing more than a sower of seeds. I just throw them out there, and God decides which ones are going to sprout and which ones aren't. God decides which ones are going to bear fruit and which ones aren't. You know, I may not ever see a result of my efforts in that facility. And fortunately, I have seen a couple of results. But it's enough. It's enough for me to know that there's things happening that I'm not seeing. You know, one of the guys who had been attending for like 2 years in attending my meeting and my big book presentation for that amount of time, and he got a home plan. He went home. I didn't hear back from him for at least 2 years. And last October, a year ago, he called me and said, Ken, I'm going to drink again. And I said, well, let's get you hooked up with some alcoholics. Let's get another alcoholic who knows how to work this program so that you don't have to drink. Let's get you his phone number. You call that person and you get busy doing what they tell you to do. That's 2 years after he left the facility. A, he remembered the things that I had told him. How to find a healthy meeting. How to diagnose yourself. How to find real recovery. Etc., etc. And he kept my phone number. Now, I don't know about you guys. I mean, most of you are not Darren, right? Most of us are a little less than organized. And, you know, if how many of us are going to lose that phone number? I got to understand, my job in that facility is to give people tools. Give them the tools for self-diagnosis and give them a method for finding real healthy recovery. Not that middle of the road looking at your shoes meeting. Okay? But real on fire for God, on fire for this program, looking you in the eyes. This is the deal, healthy recovery stuff. How to find that? I don't know. I know this one guy managed to keep my phone number. How many more lost my phone number but still took those tools and said, okay, I'll walk into a meeting and everybody's looking at their shoes. This ain't the place. I need to go find another one. And so, again, I'm not meant to see the results. I'm a limited, finite human being. God's plan is much bigger than the scope of my understanding. I'm never going to see it all. My job is to be obedient and do what I'm told. The step instructs me to try, and it instructs me to step outside of my meeting and let my community know. Okay, so guys, once we develop these places, once we go to these places and they manage to let us come in there and start presenting a meeting, guys, we don't do, in here we do big book study because some of us have recovered in here. We have something to offer. Some of us have a message to carry. We had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. But when we go into these facilities, most of them haven't. So we don't do big book study in the facility. We do big book presentation. Now, to what level of presentation do we do? It depends on the length of the time they're in the facility. Okay? If they're in there for, you know, if it's a stabilization unit, you know, they're in there for a week, maybe 2 weeks, just to keep, maybe even just a few days. But we do what's called a foundation meeting, what Darren presented before the meeting. We go into a little more in-depth, present our experience that goes along with that, that basic 1, 2, 3. This is what step one looks like, this is what step two looks like, and this is step three. We give a summary of the program and then move on. The next week we'll do the same thing again. If we've got a unit where people are going to be in that unit for a month to 2 months, we're going to do step presentation, which means we're going to cover, you know, three or four steps every meeting, and if we're going in there on a weekly basis. All of this is based on if we're going in there on a weekly basis, okay? All of this is based on how many times we're going to be exposed to this, the people in this facility. But if we're going to have 4 to 5 exposures to these people, we're going to do step presentation. If it's going to be longer term than that, like a lockup of some sort, then we're going to do big book presentation. We're just going to go through the book, plain and simple. But again, the reason is that those people haven't recovered. They can come up with all kinds of thoughts, theories, and ideas. And guess what? We're going to have to tell some people no. We're going to have to say, when they start speaking and start saying, you know, well, I had a really rough day today, I want to share. And no, this isn't that kind of meeting. That's not what we do here. You want to do that, that's fine. Do that when I'm not here. Guys, most of us in these meetings have sat in discussion meetings and got nowhere. We heard about a lot of stuff that was really neat and interesting, but it wasn't 12 step. And maybe we heard a lot of stuff that the desperate man doesn't need to hear. Maybe confusing, right? So that's a real important issue. We don't do discussion meetings in a facility because I'm not interested in their day, their way, their thoughts, their theories, ideas. Look where it got them. I don't want your way of life. You haven't recovered. You don't have anything I want. I know how to act out. Do you want to know how to recover is the question. So when we go into these places, this is what we do. Now, when we're developing a place and to go into, we need to stick to our guns on these traditions. We carry our message, not theirs. They want us to change our message. They want us to do great. That's fantastic. We can see that this is not really what we're meant to do. We're not here to contradict what they do. We're here to add to what they do. We respect their rules, and if their rules conflict with what we do, then we need to find another place. They want to say, you don't work past step three with these people while they're in our facility. That's fine. That's fine. I can understand it, guys, because most of the time when they're living in these facilities, they're not out in the world having to pay the bills and get to work on time. Everybody's taking care of them. You know, life's not looming large over them. They're not going to get it. Most of the time, what we're going to have to do is when they is hope that we've planted some little bug in their ear that when they get out in the world, you know, they think they're bulletproof when they step out there, but you know, one hot summer, they're going to run that air conditioning too long. And then they're going to get the electric bill, and they're going to get the rent, and then they're going to go, well, how am I going to pay for groceries? And then, you know, girlfriend's mad at them because no money to take her out. Boss is mad at them because, you know, we picked up another job and we're late to his job. You know? These sort of things come and loom large over them, and they finally start looking at that beer or that porn or that Coke and say, you know what? I deserve it. I've had a rough day. But when they're in the facility, they're bulletproof. So I get it. They say in there, you know, don't work the steps with them. Don't work the steps with them. Okay, I understand that. Because really, if you're talking with those people, if you're working this, they're not really desperate because everybody, the food is there, the roof is there, the clothes are there. What do they got to worry about? Right? Except I don't like living here and I want to live out in the world. When they're out in the world and they have to worry about those things, now that beer looks really cold. Now that, you know, that girl walking the street looks really friendly. I need a friendly face. And now they're right back where they know they shouldn't be. And they go, how did I do that? Or they're thinking about it and they go, ooh, this is a bad idea and I'm not going to be able to stop on my own. I'm not going to stay away from it. Now I need to pick up the phone and call Ken or find that meeting and then, you know, find that healthy meeting. You know, maybe ask questions. You know a guy with a long beard? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that crazy group over there. Yeah, okay. Where do they meet? Oh, you want to go? No, I need to go over there. You see the point? Mm-hmm. We want them hamburger. We want them raw. We want them where they're still malleable, where they're putty, where they're open to suggestion and willing to follow direction. Right? That's important. If they're not, nothing we can do for them. That brings us to another point. We start to work with someone, we need to be sure that they're ready. They're going to have to come in the door with willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness. And if they don't have those three things, they're not done with step one. There's more step one to be done. How do we do? Well, how do I do step one? Go act out. Go do it until it's not any fun anymore. Go do it until you're out of third options. Guess what? They're not going to want to hear that. And what we got to tell them is point blank. The only thing that can give you willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness is God. And what he does is he puts this wonderful little wall in our way for us to run our, you know, bang our head against enough. And, you know, when we've finally beaten our head against it enough, you know, God's going to say each time, are you ready yet? At some point, we're going to bang our head of it enough times to where we say, okay, I'm willing. I'm willing to follow direction. I'm willing to be honest, rigorously honest. And I'm willing to open my mind to the idea that I don't know every damn thing. But in early recovery, when we're starting out in our 12th step, there is a real temptation to work with anyone that asks us. And it's important, it's very important that we stop with this person. You know, God sent this person to us for a reason, yes. But that reason may not be for us to work with them. That reason may have been, this person needs a good dose of the truth, which is, you're not done. Or, you know, okay, maybe you should work your wife's program first. If that doesn't work, come see me. But it may be too that, you know, we need to look at one of our own proteges and say, is this guy really doing the deal or not? I'm wasting a lot of time with him. Is he really following direction or not? Do I need to can him and then work with this new guy? So it's important that when we get someone that comes to us, we really, really need to make sure that they're done. And we really need to make sure that God really wants us to work with them. Because again, it may be that he just wants us to tell them something they don't want to hear. It may be that he just wants us to tell one of our other proteges to get lost and get done. So when practicing step 12, we need to always remember that more than anything, more than this person needs to hear about the steps, the program, and God, more than they need to hear the truth. And the truth may not be something they want to hear. So as a sponsor, that is my number one responsibility. I will give them the truth no matter how uncomfortable it makes them feel. That's my commitment. And if I am somehow caught up with this person such that I'm hesitant to tell them the truth, I really need to look at my other motives. Am I people pleasing? Am I being codependent? And am I enabling this person by telling them things they want to hear instead of what they need to hear? Am I taking care of their feelings? Did I say that already? Mm-hmm. But if I'm in that mode, and if I find myself in that mode a lot, maybe I better get myself to a good codependency group. Maybe I better work the steps around some codependency issues. You know, I've been through a codependency program myself, and I have to say, it made me a better sponsor. Guys, how do you become a good sponsor? Well, by first being a bad sponsor. But admitting when you've screwed up. Remember that we have others in the fellowship that help us. If I get a guy and I screw up with him, I'm going to say, this is where I went wrong. This is what I did. When you said this, I didn't spot it, or I didn't want to hear it, and so I ignored it. Or, you know, I didn't explore that. Something in the back of my head said that, you know, there's something to that, and I didn't explore it, and I should have. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to hook you up with Larry. Larry, I want you. Here's my experience with this guy. Why don't y'all start over? And then Larry knows where we left off, what the problems were we had, and then he can start over with a new perspective with this guy. And then Larry hits a stopping point with this guy. He can say, well, let's grab up Darren, and let's figure out, you know, here's the problem we're having, Darren. Will you sponsor him? And so we don't give up on the guy. We don't just say, oh, well, I screwed up. Goodbye. Good luck. You know. We come to him and say, okay, this was my shortcoming in this situation. I didn't spot that you didn't have the willingness. And these were my indicators that you didn't have the willingness. And so I go to Larry. Okay, Larry, this was my mistake with this guy. These were the indicators I should have seen but ignored. And then Larry picks up where I left off. Okay? Well, not where. He starts over with the guy. That's an important thing, too, is that when we get someone, when we start working with a person, they may have been in the fellowship for years. They may have been working with several other sponsors. But just because they're not new doesn't mean they're not new to us. He's not getting it. I don't know what he missed. We need to start from the beginning and figure out, you know, What in step one do you know? Okay. Oh, okay, you missed that. Well, let's cover that. But the only way I'm going to know to do that is to start with step one and go through it with him. Okay? Heck, if they've been around long enough, they can tell me step one, right? But, you know, again, we look at it with a fresh pair of eyes and say, you know what, I didn't hear you say this. So we start, and this goes on to some of that, you know, we carry the same message that was carried to us. I don't know what message, you know, if I'm sponsoring Darren, you know, we just started working together, and he's been out there 12-stepping for a long time, but we just started working, I don't know what message he's carrying. I need to know that he and I are on the same page. When I switched sponsors the last time, we went through all 12 steps in just a matter of hours. Three hours we sat and had a conversation. But what we were doing, we were making sure that we were carrying the same message. I was still sober, so it was a non-issue. My previous sponsor, I needed to find a new sponsor. And I found a new sponsor. We went through the steps in a matter of hours just to make sure we were doing the same thing. He wants to make sure that I'm carrying the same message that he carries. We've got consistency of message, right? Because, you know, if somebody comes to me and says, and I'm sponsoring Larry and says, Ken, did you know Larry said this at a meeting? I'm going to grab up Larry and say, that's not the message I carried to you. Where do you get that stuff? Show that to me in the big book. Where does it say that? Oh, well, it's not really in. Okay, don't talk about it in a meeting. You can talk about it all day long at church if you want to. It's none of my business. In a meeting, we stick to our program. You work the steps a different way, you know what? More power to you. You're working with me, you work the steps my way. Because I don't know how to stay sober your way. You got some other idea for staying sober? Great. Go find a sponsor who knows how to stay sober the way you want to stay sober. Good luck with that. I hope it works out. If it does, I will send people to you. Well, I don't like the way you do it. Okay, great. I know this other guy who does it some other way. I'm going to flip you to him. Good luck. I hope it works out. But I want what you have. I don't care. I don't know how to get what I have any other way than the way I got it. It's not about me. It's about the principles that I practice to get where I am. You want what I have, then you got to do what I did. I don't know how to get here any other way. Well, I don't like what that other guy has. Well, then don't do what he does. It's that simple. A guy who thinks he has his own way to recover or he doesn't want to follow directions has got his own plan and his own mind of how this thing is going to work. Guess what? He's not done. Let him go get done. Alcoholics say, never get between a drunk and his last drink. You're going to injure yourself if you do. Somebody's got some other idea on how to recover, we stay out of the way. Let them go chase it. Because it's none of my business. I got one job. I got one message. So it's very, very important that when I work with a guy, I'm going to feel out step one. How do you do that? Again, I don't want that recorded. That's a little trick for us guys who have worked this way. Most of you know what we do. But the point is that you do what you need to do to figure out if this guy's done or not. And we'll talk about it off tape all day long. But you've got to, when you've worked with a guy and things didn't work out, and he's not following directions or can't open his mind or doesn't have the willingness or can't be honest, then you got to step back and look at what did I miss. And you need to discuss it with your fellows in recovery and start asking them, you know, this is my experience and, you know, he said this. Would that have been an indicator that he wasn't ready? Yeah. We work together. We cooperate with each other. It doesn't mean we talk behind each other's back, but we help each other improve on how we carry the message. What message are we presenting? How are we presenting it? What are we hearing from the new guy that should tell us that he's not done? And we may talk to our sponsors about it. Again, avoiding, you know, giving away identity. I mean, we protect each other's anonymity within the fellowship as best we can when we're talking about each other. But the point is that we want to honor the confidence that our protégés bestow on us. And so when I'm going to my sponsor and talking about a problem I'm having with a protégé, I make sure, A, that he doesn't know the guy before I say his name. And if he does know the guy, I'd be sure to say things that aren't going to lead him to the conclusion of who it is. Right? So I'm going to say, this is the problem I'm having. And we can help each other learn better ways to carry the message. We need to analyze our mistakes and figure out where, you know, and then why we ignored that clue. Well, I really wanted to work with the guy. That's your selfishness, man. That's your selfishness. Nowhere in this step does it say that you have to be effective. Nowhere in this step does it say that you have to bring about a result. We're no longer in the results business. That's God's problem, not ours. And thank God. Because if we're in the results business, that makes us responsible for that other man's sobriety. And that means that there is a human power that can solve that problem. And that's me. That's Danger City. Danger City. That's another point on step 12 is that we need to remember. And of course I've said this several times, but we need to be sure. It's why we stick to principles instead of personalities, is that we need to make sure that we understand that we cannot be responsible for another man's sobriety. Because we can't take that credit. Because there's a flip side to the coin. If we take credit for his sobriety, then we have to take responsibility for his lack of sobriety. I don't want either. I need to remember it's by God's power that we recover and not our own. And if I'm making it about me, if I'm taking credit for someone else's sobriety, that's ego, and I am headed for a fall. You know, guys, this is about ego reduction. It's about increasing our humility and decreasing our ego. And taking credit for somebody's sobriety is a sure way to screw it up. Watch when you carry the message. When I've got somebody through step 12 and I've got them, you know, out there doing what they're supposed to do, they've made a commitment to carry a message at a certain place, or and they're, you know, standing up at meetings to offer themselves as sponsors, that's fantastic, that's great, that's good. But I'm also going to look over the traditions with them. You know, this is a practical application of the principles of the steps. The steps are about increasing our humility. And the traditions tell us the actions we don't take in working with each other, because these are acts of a lack of humility. Right? Taking too much responsibility in the meeting. Not taking enough responsibility in the meeting. Putting too much money in the basket. Not putting enough money in the basket. Acting like the leader instead of the servant. Right? Acting like the authority instead of just another member of the kindergarten. Mm. We have to watch our own egos like hawks. And it's why I'm quick to blow off when someone says, "Wow, I heard you speak." It's whatever. So what? I'm just a schmo like you. This is about increasing our humility and not increasing our egos. We can bloat our egos up thinking we're king of the losers. Real quick, I'm running this crew of what? Of sex addicts. Never mind. So, yeah, it's important that while we may or may not get acclaim, we may become jealous of someone else's acclaim. Guess what? That acclaim that we get or that we're jealous of, that acclaim is danger city. It's because we can make it real quick about our personality. And boy, when we start doing that, we're, you know, the bigger our ego gets, the harder it falls, right? That's a fundamental truth and something we need to watch for. Of course, can we do anything about our own? No, we don't recover by our own power. That's what this program is about, is to get in touch with the power that can help us recover, that can help us bring our egos down to size and not keep tripping over them. And that's an important deal. You know, I do want to say something about poaching. I know that there are some unhealthy meetings and groups out there. God bless them. If you're able to go into one of those meetings and not contradict what they're saying, not conflict with what they're doing, and that's all fantastic. You're a better man than me. I can't seem to go into those meetings and not present myself as being holier than thou. I come off that way. I don't know what it is about me, but I come off that way. So that's great. If you can do that, that's super. But don't ask me for advice, because I don't know. You know, my best advice for me in those situations is to keep my mouth shut and look for the guy who's still sick. Mm-hmm. Look for the guy who's really fresh off bottom and really needs what we have to offer. This program is not about going to other meetings and getting people to come to our meetings. It's not about growing our meeting bigger than anybody else's. I'd rather have our meeting be a small group of five or six guys that are on fire for God in these steps than have a room full of 50 guys that are looking at their shoes. I'd rather have quality than quantity. So, you know, going to other meetings and getting them, got to understand that the people that I find in discussion meetings have been discussionized. They've been incorporated into that culture of, mm-hmm. You know, I can go into a meeting and I can feel better because I dumped my stuff in the meeting. And they're happy with that. Guess what? I was happy with that for a while. I stayed sober for a couple of years that way. And as long as that's working for them, we're not going to get them convinced of any other thing. Guys, you know, you're gonna offer me two things. I can either do the hard work of the instructions of this book, or I can go to meetings and talk about how my day went. Let me think on that for about a fraction of a second, right? I'm going to go to meetings because I don't want to do this. We're looking for the guy for whom that no longer works. And we have to be careful who we talk to and how we talk to other members of this fellowship. Because, you know, our 11th tradition tells us attraction, not promotion. That doesn't mean just out here in our community. That means also within our fellowship. Other groups, other meetings have a different way of doing things. God bless them. Let's not discourage that. Let's not even suggest that our way is better. At best, all we can say in those situations is, yeah, I tried that and I couldn't stay sober that way. And leave it alone. And if they want to find something different, now they've got that little seed planted. this guy is sober and he didn't stay sober the way that we do it, that means there's another way out there. Then they'll track us down. Then they'll come to us. They'll see the attraction in that, but only after what they're doing doesn't work anymore. My experience is that the spiritual malady that's at the core of this deal, whether I'm acting out or not acting out, is getting worse all the time. And if I don't find a solution that increases as I work it, then that spiritual malady will eventually become so painful that I cannot bear it. And I will either act out over that or find something that does work. The relief of dumping my stuff in a meeting, telling my war stories, remembering how bad it was, etc., etc., that's great, and it works up until the point that it doesn't anymore. And when that happens, then I'm either going to seek another solution or the ultimate solution. So when we go to these other meetings, let's look for that guy. Somebody says something funny and the whole room laughs except for him. Let's go grab him after the meeting and say, hey, you want to go have coffee? And do it away from the other folks, particularly if they know who we are and what we're about. Because, we're not going to talk about how other meetings talk about us. But the idea is that, let's go see if we can buy him a cup of coffee. How you doing, man? How you feeling? She's really mad, isn't she? Yeah, she's going to leave, isn't she? Yeah, I know. I've been there. Yeah. So when if it's somebody who's new to recovery or somebody who's been doing that discussion stuff for a long time and it's not working anymore, either way, we're looking for the guy who's hamburger. Until then, let's just keep our mouth shut. Let's be quiet. You don't have a meeting in your town at all? Great. You're going to have to go to your community. You're going to have to step outside of your comfort zone. But let's get the horse out in front of the cart. Let's make sure that the guy, that when we do start a meeting, it's the majority of the people there are people who know this program and know these traditions and know how to keep the meeting on track. Otherwise, you're going to be going off in right and left field, right and left, with people who have never done this work and aren't on fire for God in this program. We're talking about all that therapy stuff. We're talking about all that treatment center stuff. We're talking about all that church stuff. And sure as anything, you're talking about that stuff, you're going to have a guy walking in who's tried that or is of another persuasion. And you know what? His other solution is to go put the gun in his mouth. So, remember, guys, we don't recover by meetings. Meetings are not a bad thing when they're healthy. They're a great thing when they're healthy. But, it's not about how many meetings we attend. Should we attend meetings? Yes. When they're healthy, yes. When I get a protege, I tell my proteges when they get a protege. If you know that there's healthy meetings to attend, you guide those guys to those meetings and you tell them which meetings not to go to until they have a message to bring to that meeting. Otherwise, stay away from them because they're going to hear something goofy, something stupid that's not 12-step. And they're going to misunderstand. Remember, at this point, they're pliable. Right? And they don't know if that guy who just said that goofy stuff is a recovered sex addict or not. That could have been his second day. And he's talking about all kinds of things, talking out the side of his head. God bless him. Let's be sure to go to meetings where we know the people who talk have worked the steps. The people who talk are not only people who have worked the steps, but who are on fire for God in the steps. They're seeing the fruit of the program, right? They're experiencing the promises. When we got a new guy, let's sit down with them, and if they're at a meeting, let's tell them what to look for. You're looking for stuff that you can qualify with this book. If you can't reconcile it with this book, good chance that it's not actually 12-step. That's why this book was written to begin with. You're hearing stuff that sounds really cool, that's great. But if you're hearing stuff that's not that can't be reconciled with this book, then that meeting may not be adhering to the traditions. If they're not adhering to the traditions, that reflects on the health of that meeting. Time to get us to a different meeting. Because, again, some of us in this meeting have been to those, and we walked in and we didn't know if Judy, George, Bill, or Tom had been here one day or 10 years. We don't know if they're abstaining from all their selfish sexual behaviors or if they're working a masturbation maintenance program, you know? We don't know what their deal is. We don't know that in a meeting. All we know is that we came to the meeting and we're listening to what's going on. And we're hearing some, wow, that's really cool. So, yeah, your mommy set you on a toilet backwards. And now that's why you're here. Okay, well, so did my mommy. And so I guess that's why I'm here. And so if I can just go back and fix that, then I'll be okay. You know, great. I hope that works out for you. But that's not 12-step. That's not what we're about. That's not what we do. So remember, when we go to a meeting, then that guy goes to a meeting, you got to make sure he's going to a meeting where he's going to hear the truth. Doesn't make that other stuff not the truth. It just makes sure that we're only carrying our message and not someone else's. It's all we're qualified to do. I am not a therapist, so I'm not qualified to carry a therapy message. I'm not a treatment center technician. I'm not qualified to carry a treatment technician. I'm not a minister. I'm not a priest. I'm not an engineer. I am a forklift operator. That's it. I know how to do two things. I know how to teach you how to operate a forklift, and I know how to teach you how to do 12-step to stay sober. That's all I'm qualified to do. You want to do something else, you need a different sponsor. You want to carry a different message than I carry, you need a different sponsor. It's just that simple. That's humility. That's me being humble enough to say, I don't know how to do what you do. I don't know how to do it the way you want to do it. I am limited in my ability. This thing is about the message, not the messenger. It's a program that gets you to the power, not the sponsor. That's really kind of all I got. Unless we want to open that up for Q&A?
Yeah, stop that.
Or we can leave it running, either way. If not, I mean, if there's no questions, then we'll just cut it, edit it online or whatever.
Does anybody have any questions? Ken, what do you do, you know, when we're out of the responsibility business, a sponsor, but do you have a vision of what a sponsor brings to the table? I mean, what seems in my mind, I have to be responsible for something. I'm not the arbiter of. Am I an arbiter of all of his conduct? Some of his conduct? You know, you talked about it in the sex inventory in our book.
That's a good question.
I get a guy who's. You know, it brings up the dating thing. It brings up, you know, you're a single guy, married guy. You know, what do you do?
Let's start out with several things. Let's start out with sex is not a necessity. I am genetically predisposed to want it. But that does not mean that doesn't make it like food where I have to have it. I'm not going to die without it. That gives me the ability to forgive myself when I notice someone attractive. That does not give me the right to go do something selfish in my sexuality. Now, someone who wants to have a different definition of sobriety than me, that's fantastic. I can't sponsor them in that. I had to come to this thing where I was willing to surrender my entire sex life. You know, This program tells us we've lost the power to choose. This program also, nowhere in it have I found that the power to choose is ever restored to us. So that's something I'm going to have to surrender walking in the door, is my right to choose my sexual path. It's something I'm going to have to surrender, my right to choose walking in the door. Because I know Ken choosing sex ends up being a bad choice. Doesn't mean I'm abstinent. I have tested complete abstinence up to a little past 100 days. My wife was unwilling to go further than that. I have told her repeatedly that my message would have more depth and weight if we could abstain for a year, and she said, you're going to have to get by with what you got. But that doesn't change anything. I have members, there are members of this fellowship, single and married, who have been completely abstinent for years. The fact that nuns, priests, monks practice complete abstinence for their entire lives completely negates the idea that sex is a necessity. But it's just this simple. Someone still wants to be able to look at porn or still be able to masturbate. That's fine. What they want to do is not go to prostitutes or strip clubs or whatever anymore. Fine, that's super. I don't know how to do that. What they want is the ability to masturbate yet stay away from those other behaviors. I don't know how to do that. I don't have what they want. If I don't have what you want, then I don't need to be sponsoring you. If you don't want what I have, great. I have to come to the table, and this is a step one issue. I have to come to the table with a willingness to surrender my entire sex life, even the one I haven't had yet. Does that mean I'm going to be abstinent for the rest of my life? You know what? I don't know. And neither do you. You know who does know? God. And God's going to tell us, okay, the someday stuff, you need to stop worrying about that. The only part of my plan you're going to understand is today. You're not going to get it. That someday stuff, you're not going to understand it. Stop dwelling in it. Someday is not here now. It's not reality. I'm going to have to surrender to the idea that if God is going to make my decisions in my sex life from here forward, then it's a possibility he may never want me to have sex again. And I got to be okay with that. And if I'm not okay with that, fine. Go get done. Guys, I don't know. I was talking about this with someone earlier, that I don't know what's before me. I don't know what God's plan is for my future. But whatever his plan is for my future, it's got to be better than where I was getting on my own. The path either goes forward into the unknown or back into what I do know. I know what's behind me. And what's behind me is hell. And I don't want to be there anymore. What looks before me looks uncomfortable, rough, and I'm not going to enjoy it. I don't care. It's not hell. I've been there. So those are my choices, either back or forward. And so they're not ready? Great. Go get ready. Or find a different sponsor that knows how to do this the way you want to do this. Does that help at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken.
Sure.